our God and our Father above in heaven. It is to this moment that we humble ourselves and seek for your mercy. Lord, we have gathered not as a tradition, but we desire to hear and to heed from your word. And how can man ever assume comprehension of your word unless you cause us by the intervention of the Spirit? And so we pray now that Holy Spirit, you would be in our midst and that you would enable us to worship you genuinely, in truth and in spirit. Forgive us of our many sins, for if we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For in various ways we have transgressed against you. But this moment we come not because of merit. There is absolutely nothing in us by ourselves, but we do so. We come to you in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have been forgiven of sin and through whom we have been given this right to be called children of God. And so cause us to worship you in this day. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. I want to greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, and I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 17, and the word of God reads as follows. All scripture is breathed out by God. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and the sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. That's why we read God's word. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters, we are living in the last days. Evil people go on from bad to worse. You don't have to look hard before you can realize this. People are lovers of pleasure rather than God. And really, we are able to see this godlessness. And so it is said in these familiar words, if you cannot defeat them, join them. If you can't defeat them, join them. That is how everyone speaks. That is how everyone does things. And so who is you to bring a change? Just flow with the flow, so they say. Look in verse 13. It reveals lawlessness to be on the rise. For evil people care less about keeping the law of God. And just to illustrate this and how man has grown into caring less for the law of God, I watched recently a survey. And one theologian went around asking people to cite 10 commandments. The 10 commandments. He said, please cite to me the 10 commandments. And people battled not even to give half of the 10 commandments. And so he also said, well, give me 10 brands of alcohol. Oh, people went on and on and on and said, oh, please stop there. I only said 10. That shows you how much people have been so informed with things of the world and so ignorant with things of God. This is a reflection of lawlessness. Because if you do not know the law of God, how would you even dare to keep it? How can you be godly except for godlessness? Because you don't even read God's word and you don't even care what God says. And more we meet people that then would say, that's how everyone else does things, so why not? Now, on the contrary, Paul doesn't flow with the flow. He is ready to suffer for the truth. Oh yes, he acknowledges that all who uphold and teach the truth are going to be opposed. It's not like people will love you for teaching, preaching the truth. It won't be always true. Yes, in the context as this one, you desire to hear the truth and you are keen for the truth. But this is not always the ethos. And so Paul acknowledges that in verse 12, that all who desire to teach and preach the truth are going to be opposed. And in that word, all, that includes you and I. That includes Timothy. You are going to be opposed. Now let me remind you briefly that Paul suffered and endured enormous pain, enormous persecution. He says, and he mentions places which are very familiar to Timothy. He says, at Antioch, listen and look at what happened to me at Iconium. And remember what happened to me at Lystra. I was opposed for the truth. Nevertheless, he testifies that the Lord rescued me in all these oppositions, according to verse 11. And so Paul says, I have a testimony for you, Timothy. The Lord rescued me. So we see that Paul points out the unceasing lawlessness of men. Evil men oppose the truth. And Paul says, it doesn't start with me. In fact, look at, he points Timothy to the Old Testament. Remember, Moses was opposed for bearing the truth of God, according to verse 8. Evil people, yes, they will oppose me. And remember this time when Paul is writing this letter, he awaits execution, death. So he says, I'm not surprised. Look at what happened to Moses. And I'm not surprised now that I'm being opposed for the truth. Opposition will also happen to Timothy. And to everyone who upholds the truth, according to verse 11 and verse 12. Opposition will always be there because people have grown into loving pleasure rather than God. Now, despite Paul's situation, he gives Timothy a testimony to encourage Timothy, you know, and he's saying, look at what happened to me. Nevertheless, the Lord rescued me, and the Lord will do the same to you, Timothy. The Lord is going to come to your rescue should people oppose the truth. And so Timothy, we know something about this man, Timothy. He was discipled by the Apostle Paul. Timothy followed Paul's teaching, conduct of life, and faith, and patience, and love, and steadfastness. And Timothy was not just a Christian. Timothy was a minister of Jesus Christ, a young pastor. And the young pastor needs to know this, that if he stands for the truth, he will be opposed. He can expect opposition. Now, we reckon that Paul does not only point out the problem of godlessness, people opposing the truth of God's word, but Paul also gives us the solution. And so in verse 14, he says, continue, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. And later on, Paul mentions that which Timothy has learned. According to verse 15, he says, the sacred writings. Yes, people are lovers of pleasure. Yes, people care less for the law of God. What is the solution? Paul says, Scripture is the solution. Scripture. Instead of flowing with the flow, joining those who oppose the truth, Timothy, continue to teach Scripture. And so let us take a close look at the source and the function of Scripture. And I want us to look at this theme. Scripture is God breathed for salvation. And to unpack this, we're going to look at the departure of Scripture. Those that are interceding for me, thank you very much. Continue doing that. Okay. Scripture is God breathed for salvation, and want to look at, but what is the departure of Scripture? In other words, what is the source of Scripture? And secondly, we'll look at the design of Scripture. How is the Scripture designed? What is the function of Scripture? And you also look, we're going to learn that Scripture is there to make us wise, but also shows us the Christian living, and finally, the desire or the aim of Scripture. Now, I won't be able to unpack all this in one preaching or in one sermon. And so, for the sake of this morning, let us begin by looking at the departure of Scripture. What is the source of Scripture? Now, before we unpack the function of Scripture or the purpose of Scripture, very quickly, let us trace its source. Where does it come from? And Paul mentions and Paul explains where Scripture comes from. Paul testifies that all Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. That is verse 16. Now, Scripture is here in reference to the books of the Old Testament, because at this time the New Testament had not yet developed. But later, when the New Testament literature developed and was gathered, it was also called Scripture. Listen to John 5:39. He says, this is Jesus Christ, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they," the Scriptures, "that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." You see, Jesus is here revealing the foolishness of man concerning Scripture. Yes, you read the Old Testament and you search the Scriptures, you know, because you need life. And I've come and the Scriptures testify to me, but you refuse me, you reject me. The foolishness of man is here exposed. Out of ignorance, people rejected life which is found in Jesus. Yes, they are reading the Scriptures, the Old Testament, but they are refusing the Messiah. They are refusing Christ who brings salvation. And so he says, yes, you're reading the Scriptures, and yet you're refusing it. And the New Testament, what is it doing? It is recording everything Christ has done for us. His life, his birth, his ministry, how he died, and how he rose, and how he's going to come again. And so you see that it is out of ignorance that they are rejecting life eternal. They are searching for it in the Old Testament, yet they're refusing Jesus Christ, to whom the Scriptures are pointing. Notice that little word, "all." All Scripture is breathed out by God, all. Meaning that each and every word in Scripture is God-breathed. Or people have a tendency of saying, let us see which one is the word of God and which one is the word of man. Okay, fine, we're going to take the word of God and leave the word of man. Paul says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And so we can't pick and choose. Oh, I love that verse, but not this one. This one comes too close to rebuke sin in my life, and I'm still enjoying this particular sin. So I love these verses and not these verses. The Bible says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. But then you say, what about 1 Corinthians 7:10? There we find these words. Paul says, to the married, I give this command. Not I, but the Lord. And then in verse 12 he says, to the rest, I, not the Lord, but I. But all Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture, how do we reconcile that? Now this doesn't mean disagreement between Paul and the Lord. Because if you read the same Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:37, he says, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I, Paul, I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. When Paul speaks with the authority of God. Paul's apostolic commands come by inspiration and had divine authority. Though Scripture was written by human authors, it is breathed out by God. How is that possible? How is it possible that Paul can say, you know, not the Lord, but I, and it still remains God's word? Peter says, how is it possible? Peter says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God. Also, when Paul speaks,
still the word of God.
Men spoke from God as they were carried. How possible is that? As they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men wrote scripture, not by their own interpretation, not by their own reasoning, but were inspired by the Spirit of God. So Paul can say, yes, not the Lord, but I, and it still remains the very word of God. They were inspired. Now, here is not that word inspired. It is not in the sense of one who is, and who can say, I've been inspired to be a doctor and to be an engineer and to be a nurse or to be a police. Not in that sense. But it means they were compelled by God the Holy Spirit to speak and to write. That process is called inspiration, where man has been compelled, where man is carried along, where man is influenced, such that when he speaks as though by himself, it is actually the very word of God. That process was inspiration. Yes, even if men wrote from their personal and historical and cultural context, and even if they used their own minds and they used their own historical and cultural context, though they used their talents, language, and style, they wrote what God intended to communicate, for they were carried along. So Paul can say, not the Lord, but I, and it still remains God speaking through him. So we can say scripture is therefore the divine revelation to man. It is from God to man. Scripture has eternal truth and authority because it comes from God, it carries and it bears eternal truth. And so prophets and apostles received God's word and delivered it to us. That's how we come to have scripture. And so clearly, God the Holy Spirit is the source of scripture. But then, the question, for what function? What is the design of scripture? For what purpose? Yes, we see it comes from God, but for what purpose? In verse 15, we read, from childhood, you have been equipped with the sacred writings which are, what's the design? How did God design this scripture? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That is how God has designed scripture. That if it is revealed to us, we would move from foolishness to being wise to things of the Spirit. The scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. Now, this means that we are by nature not wise. What's the word we can use there? We are by nature not wise, then we are what? Foolish. By nature, we are foolish to spiritual matters, to things of God. And it explains why man keeps rejecting the truth. Man keeps rejecting scripture. And so Jesus says, yes, you read the scriptures and you search for life. And yet you refuse me. You are foolish. You are ignorant. Man is by nature foolish. Not wise, but foolish for salvation. So in our ignorance, we reject God and his truth. In our ignorance, in our foolishness, we reject God and His truth. In our ignorance, we reject men who come to us and preach accurately the word of God. Oh, but those who nicely scratch our ears and our backs, we are packed, we are there. In our foolishness, we have become lovers of pleasure rather than God. And so we have become godless people. And so we see this godlessness or lawlessness in man. In our foolishness, we have come to accept the teaching of the world and have rejected the teaching of God. Listen to this survey. Give me only 10 commandments and people battled to give even 5. But give me just 5 brands of alcohol, they give 50. Very informed in things of the world and very ignorant in things of God. It is out of foolishness of man that evil people go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, according to verse 13. It's out of ignorance, out of foolishness. So what is the solution to the seemingly unceasing problem of man rejecting the truth, rejecting scripture, rejecting men that bear truth? The solution is not scientific education. The solution is not fasting and cutting yourself and doing all those things in the mountains. The solution lies in the faithful reading and interpretation of Scripture. Yes, we may fast for 7 days and for 14 days, but if we don't come to the Scriptures humbly and ask God the Holy Spirit to reveal the Scriptures to us, it is but in vain. Paul says, Timothy, continue with the Scriptures. Why? It makes wise through faith. Faith in what? Clearly it says faith in Jesus Christ. So clearly here we see it is Scripture, the gift of Scripture. Remember, the departure. Scripture comes from God. So Scripture is the gift from God. It is Scripture, the gift of Scripture, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, faith. And the gift of faith that equals salvation. I'm going to say that simple equation again. Scripture plus faith equals salvation. Scripture comes from God, and faith is a gift which comes from God. You need both for salvation to be possible. You can't say, no, I believe, but you're not feeding on Scripture. You can't come to genuine salvation. Neither can you say, yeah, I read the Scriptures, I'm studying it. But if there is no genuine faith, you can't come to salvation. Scripture plus faith in Jesus Christ equals salvation. How do I arrive at that? Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And listen carefully. For good news came to us just as to them. We all heard. For good news came to us just as to them. What's the difference? But the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Listen to the writer, to the Hebrews. Yes, good news, scripture came to us just as to them. But it did not benefit them. There was no faith. Scripture, which is a gift from God, plus faith, which is a gift which God gives, equals salvation. It becomes clear that good news of Scripture without being coupled by faith in Jesus Christ yields no salvation. Then you're just reading Scripture like a newspaper or something like that. But when you genuinely study the Scriptures, when you genuinely receive the good news coupled by genuine faith, which is a gift from God, it yields salvation. Both Scripture and faith in Jesus Christ are God's gracious gifts to us to make salvation possible. How did God design Scripture? To make wise for salvation. That's how He designed it. That's why He gave it to us. It is designed to bring out foolishness from man and to bring us to the wisdom of salvation. If you ask John, Brother John, if you lived in his time and you asked him and you stopped him, John, please tell me, how are the Scriptures designed and for what purpose are the Scriptures given to us? Listen to how John would answer to that question. John chapter 20 verse 30. So that, for what purpose? How is Scripture designed? For what purpose? John would say, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name. Oh, he says Jesus Christ is saving. He did so many things, but these are written down so that you may believe. And if you don't believe, remember Hebrews. They received, but it didn't profit them. Why? Because it was not coupled with faith. So God designed the Scriptures in such a way that if we receive the Scriptures and if we believe the Scriptures, we would come to the knowledge of salvation. In fact, we would be saved. How did you ever come to know there's so much love of God for you to send Christ to die for you? How did you come to know about that? It was through Scripture. The question is, do you believe that? Oh, that information can come to you. Do you believe that? Have you received it? Have you accepted it? Have you assimilated it with your life? Brother Crispin? Yes. Dear friends, in conclusion, God is speaking to us through the Scriptures. It is His very word. He has revealed His love for us in Christ so that if we believe faith in Him, we should not perish but have eternal life. The question is, do you believe the Scriptures? Lest it comes to you, but does not benefit you. We would do well to receive and not to reject. Remember, Christ is arguing with these people. You search the Scriptures, but you refuse me. Foolishness. We would do well to receive and to believe the good news, which is able to make us wise for salvation. When you hear the Scriptures, do not harden your heart. It is God speaking to you. receive it, and begin to live by what God says. As opposed to flowing with the flow. I mean, what can I do? This is what everybody else does. If they cohabit, I mean, if you don't, you look a stranger to this society or to this community. That's what everyone else does. And so who is me to begin to oppose that? Just flow with the flow. The Apostle Paul says, no. We don't flow with the flow. Instead, we stand for the truth. If it means to suffer for the truth, yes, we are going to suffer for the truth. And not to just go together with the world. Timothy, you will be opposed. My dear brother and sister, who is here studying theology, if you genuinely stand for the truth, you can expect opposition. But here's the word of encouragement. Paul is saying, I was opposed in all these places. Nevertheless, the Lord rescued me. Timothy, should you be opposed and you can expect it, the Lord will rescue you. The problem of opposition is there. Remember, the Lord will rescue you. Continue to teach the truth. You may be the only person standing for the truth when everyone else goes with the flow, but stand for the truth. That's the solution. May the Lord help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand for the truth. Yes, men have been opposed. They opposed Moses and they opposed Paul, and they are going to oppose you. The question is, will you stand for the truth? Or you would begin to tweak and twist God's word so that it fits their eardrums? May God, the Holy Spirit, help us to faithfully teach the scriptures, so that men would come to the knowledge of salvation. Most probably, the next time I stand here to bring God's word again, I'm going to highlight the Christian living. God has designed the scriptures, you know, for Christian living. So what does the scriptures do? They don't just make us wise for salvation, but now when we have been saved, when we are Christians, they teach us and they reproof and they correct and they train us. That's what the scriptures do. And the question is, to which aim? What is the desire? To which aim? The aim is to make fit for every good work. You who was busy rejecting, opposing the truth, that now you may begin to do the good work for the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless your name even this moment, and we thank you that you love us and you have revealed your love to us clearly in the scriptures. It's our prayer that you would help us to embrace this truth. You would help us to receive your love for us, clearly seen in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that we would receive this love. We pray that we would accept this forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would help us to come back to you. Because if we continue in ignorance, we shall perish. And so it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We thank you for your privilege, and you have given us the scriptures, and you continue to teach us that if we humbly receive the gift of the scriptures, and if we embrace it in faith, you make us wise for salvation. Please, Lord, save us from disbelief. Please, Lord, save us from the ignorance of opposing the truth of your word. And this is only possible by the help of your Spirit. And these things we have prayed to the honor and the glory of King Jesus. Amen.